The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
Welcome one and all to another episode of the DL Debate. We're beaming out from the famous Mountaintop Studios here in Letterkenny. This is Highland Radio. Another packed weekend's action of GAA to review. Later on the show, we'll have the three main men in the county. Football boss Declan Boner will be on the line. Also joining us will be ladies football manager Maxie Kern and hurling boss Mickey McCann for their views on the season so far. But first, it's Donegal News reporter and all-round good guy Frank Craig. How are you this evening, Frank?
I'm not too bad, Brett. How are you keeping?
You didn't hang about after Maharagallan yesterday there. I had to go down to Cass's place, Mickey's, and take a bit of abuse, which was a bit of a hammering for her boys in their opening game of the league.
Yeah, listen, Prunty, I scampered off pretty quickly back down the road. Yeah, listen, it was a strange performance from St. Junan's. You know, kicking with the breeze in the first half, I think 2 points. You know, 10 minutes into the second half, still stuck on 2 points. Very young side, Breton, very noticeable in terms of the faces. You know, once upon a time in the not too distant past, every one of those St. Union's names rolled off the tongue. But listen, a seriously talented young side. I don't think Rory will be too concerned. I think the obvious thing over the weekend, we talked about Big Four, but I think when you're talking about the likes of Guidor and Glenty's Niamh Connell, in terms of squad depth and experience, even without their county contingent, there's a big two there. If you scratch a little deeper, I mean, what Glenty's were able to put out in Kilkear and what Guidor were still able to put out without their Donegal players. I know Dara O'Boyle came on and Neil McGee very late in the day, but there's still serious depth and big game experience there, even without their contingent. And maybe the likes of Kilkear and St. Union's probably suffer without those maybe two, three or four players that aren't there when Donegal are playing.
Yeah, that's interesting, Frank, that you think those sides are pulling away. I'm looking at Eamon McGee hitting 1-1 and Niall Freel 1-3 as well. McGee rolling back the years.
The only thing I think that was deliberate about Eamon McGee's 1-1 yesterday was his point, but his goal, definitely. I mean, young Ronan McGeehan, I felt from obviously Sean Patton not there. The two goals that he conceded were just, they were products of the elements. I mean, the first half, Niall Freel dipped in over his head, something caught in the breeze. And secondly, now I think Eamon will even admit that he was probably going for a point there later on. It just, with the aid of the breeze in the second half, it flew in like a rocket into the top corner. There was nothing young Ronan, who is a fantastic goalkeeper, could do about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did an unreal season with under-20s there previously, and man of the match performances coming at him throughout that run. You're just talking about the break two then. You know, with the county final still to be played, Frank, were you a bit surprised at the Niamh Connell Kilkear scoreline, seeing as Kilkear were at home?
Not really. When I kind of make a differentiation there between a big two and a big four, it really only is in terms of squad. I think when everybody's available, yeah, you know, the likes of Unions, obviously, and Kilkear are right up there. I mean, you take Patrick McBurty and Ryan McHugh out of Donegal, they're going to suffer. So, I mean, their influence on Kilkear is heavy. So Mark McHugh wasn't there at the weekend either. Listen, it's great that football, I mean, there would have been once upon a time in Brenton where clubs probably wouldn't have gone ahead with these games. The pandemic of a year and a half has probably, you know, we're all a wee bit more maybe relaxed in that sense where, I mean, once upon a time as well, the first 26, if you were named in that with Donegal or whatever, you couldn't play. I mean, you imagine the players that were on the periphery of those Donegal panels under Jim McGuinness and Rory Gawler, say, I mean, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, they weren't then playing for the club, so they weren't getting any football at all. Mm. It's great to see that there's a flexibility there, maybe a subjective approach where, you know, Declan Boner probably looks at his squad, the players he used on Saturday night. You still see the likes of Dara O'Boyle and Neil McGee coming on and Guidor. Paddy McGrath started against Clohanaly. Jason McGee started. You know, they're looking at it closely and they're allowing boys that need games to get games. It's not the subjective blanket where you say, no, he's part of a Donegal panel. It's not fair if he plays at the weekend and our lads didn't. People are just getting on with it. And it's brilliant to see. And the wee cut and thrust of that league, the regional league last year, I mean, they were means to an end because of the uniqueness of the season. But with the, you know, the fear of relegation, the hopes of promotion, it was just great to get out and about at the weekend. It felt a wee bit normal again, yeah. You know what I mean?
And Frank, tell me, how does that work then? So Boner's just going to assess each week who's going to play and who isn't, basically. And do you think that's fair on the club as well? Or is it just one of those things, that the vibe that you get there out there, the clubs are happy enough just to work with it and do that?
I think so. Listen, league football's, it's important, and for some of those sides, you look at those who said the Big Four, they can get on with it. And the benefit of the Big Four is the likes of their fringe players are getting games. They're not going to get relegated. And you even see somebody like Eunan Doherty making his debut for Donegal at 26, 27, you know, this season. And he's probably there as a late bloomer simply because Glenties have got on with it over the years. You know, if their four or five players aren't there on any given day, the lads on their bench are getting a run out. They're never going to slip. Now, obviously, there are sides there. Again, like some of your own club, Ardrath, probably can get on with it simply because Paddy McGrath's not an attacking player. He's not a midfielder where maybe it really hurts you when he's not there. I mean, look at Jason McGee, how influential he was for Clonmacnoise. It's probably sides like, and I know they won it the weekend, but Killybegs maybe without a Hugh McFadden or an Owen Van Galler when it's a really difficult assignment might be dropping points that they necessarily wouldn't on other times. Again, I think clubs are probably bending that wee bit easier this season simply because of what we've gone through. Now, this might change simply because maybe who gets relegated and who doesn't go up across the four divisions as we go on next year. There might be a bit of a kickback about that. There's no official line that players have been allowed to play or not been allowed to play. I jokingly sort of pressed Maxie Curran on that at one stage yesterday. He was happy to talk because halfway through the second half, your own St. Unions were held bait at that stage. So he was trying to chew the cud with Maxie, but he gave nothing away. Maybe you can press him a little later when he's on the show about that there. But I think it's good, Brenton, even if it only might just be for this season, because everybody's own interests, you know, they start at home and you look after your own house in terms of club football. But I think people are just happy to get out and play at the minute, and the lie of the land or whatever that is, maybe at the end of the league, maybe it will be a different story come next season.
Yeah, I'm glad, Frank. I suppose years ago, you know, clubs might have dug their heels in with that and it could have led to all sorts of problems. And so I suppose that's just how we have to work at the minute as we try and amalgamate the two seasons. Of course, Kilcare 10 points, Neve Connell 2-11 was the score. The Gador boys will not forgive me if I don't actually mention the score. It was 2-8 to 5 points. Gador beating St. Unions, Ardrath, and Clonmacnoise played out a draw. I seen Kevin Mulhern last night, he had a bit of a bad knee injury. I hope he recovers all right. I see Seamus Coleman was an interesting spectator. Killybegs, Glen Swilly. They had a good victory over Glen Swilly as well. Good start for them, Frank.
Yeah, Seamus Coleman and Funter. I mean, it's probably familiar sight there when the Premier Division season finishes up and, you know, huge interest in GAA. I think Killybegs, well, yeah, a very, very young side. Ryan Cunningham, I think, was sort of the hero there. I think he kicked two goals and a few points. But, you know, others chipping in too. Paul Cunningham, the likes of Jack McSharry, I think, kicked 5 points. Ryan actually scored 2-3. Conor Cunningham kicked 4 points. So the work that John Cunningham and obviously Rory Gallagher's influence there over the last few years, Killybegs are on their way back. And even without the two lads, you know, winning these sort of games without the two lads, it can only bode well for the future. And you look at that their side again, we chat about maybe take out the likes of Anthony O'Hara and Christopher Mooner, who kind of came on late in the day. A lot of those other lads, you're looking at lads in the not too distant past that were county minors, county under 20 players. I like the look of that Killybeg side, a very young team, and you know, if they can tread water in Division 1 this year, I mean, they'll be all the better for it. And again, you know, if they can do that on a lot of days without the help of Hugh McFadden and Owen Van Galler, it can only be a good thing, Brenton, in the long term. The development of that squad, you know, it's a plus if you can stay up and you can do it without your county players. In the long run, it's a very good thing, I feel.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. I mean, if Killybegs get strong as we want competitive teams, it produces county players. There's no doubt in it. Just talking about teams coming back, just one result from Division 2, Eirua beating St. Noel's. At St. Noel's, was four. They posted 4-18. They won 13. Frank, is there another giant about to come back? Do you think Eirua back to the top table?
I think so, because I think we're probably going back 5-6 years now, when there was a seriously talented Guidoor side that I think went on and won an Ulster club. The likes of Michael Carr, Nisio Boyle, Dara Boyle, you know, that vintage. But in that year's county final, Eirua ran them right to the wire. And I remember thinking, you know, if Eirua can keep this side together, they're definitely going to be back in the hunt in the next while. 4.18 is serious, serious tipping. I think the likes of David Dolan 1.4, you know, Philip Patton 1.6. I'm laughing because I see Carl O'Brien's back in goal there. Peter Boyle, I thought maybe might have been used out the field, but I don't see him there at all. Must have been injured. But Carl O'Brien would have been my vintage. I remember playing against Carl O'Brien in a 1996 under-16 county final in Flinter. So it's great to see that boys like that are still getting a run out. But listen, a huge side, and you would have known all about Ayrua back in the day. I mean, they slipped off the radar there, down as far as Division 3 at one stage, but they're building slowly but surely, and I mean, that's a very, very young side, I would say. There are not many players in that their starting team, maybe under 26, 27, which, listen, it's great news, and it bodes well going forward. Some big sides outside the realms of even Division 1, and you're looking down through Division 2. Division 2 looks seriously competitive on paper, Brenton. A lot of big sides there. I would say, you know, out of all the divisions, it usually is in a way. Like, we talk about a detachment in Division 1 with those top four, but from the top four down in Division 1 to the very bottom of Division 2, there's very little in any of those sides.
Yeah, and you know, you're on. It looks like, Frank, just an overview then. You know, you see obviously Niamh Columba coming back there. You know, Ardragh look like they're getting their act together a bit again. Obviously, Clonmacnoise, you know, those sides we mentioned there. It seems like every club now seems to, you know, there seem to be big drops with teams, but most of them seem to be on the up in terms of getting their house in order and becoming competitive again.
Listen, Division 2's, it's not that big a drop off, and it's never that, it doesn't seem that far away getting to Division 1. Dropping to Division 3 is an interesting one. Like, I talked to Pat Campbell from Four Masters, and it just really depends where you're at. They're a very young side, and he's possibly thinking, you know, his thinking was that maybe a year in Division 3, because they flooded a lot of minors onto their senior panel this year as well. Maybe that's a good ground for them, but I would say, looking outside that Division 1, Division 2, Four Masters are the one that sticks out in Division 3, but again, people maybe closer to the action there will tell you, maybe it's just what they need at this time, and if they could come up with that there young side, it'll do them a lot better, having done that in Division 3, than maybe scraping for points at the bottom of Division 2 and barely staying there in terms of long-term development. But you're right in terms of other sides. The traditional big hitters that me and you would have talked about maybe in the past, that this, you know, south and southwest of the county seem to be thriving again. And listen, the more teams, the better, because we've talked about that glass ceiling in terms of the top four. I still believe there is a serious gap there. Back to, I mean, we talked about Bundoran last year being number five in the county, and then what we've seen happened to Bundoran in the senior championship. So that top four are still well out in their own, Brenton, but fingers crossed that, you know, a gap can be bridged there, because it has become a wee bit, maybe for the rest of us, difficult, and we wonder why there is such a gap there. When St Eunice, your own St Eunice, were strong, we used to argue that it was population, you know, the amount of players at the disposal, but if the likes of Kilkear and Niamh Connell are so competitive and developing players at that their level, there's no reason why the likes of the Dunlows and the of Columbus, as you say, the Ardraghs and now the Ayrus, shouldn't be doing it likewise.
Yeah, it's a deep question, that, Frank. You know, how much does it go back to the talent or the attitude of the people in the area? I mean, you've got players, do they inspire other players? You know, it's all in. That's why I'm just, it looks like you're seeing the ingredients for a lot of teams seem to be getting the right people in the background, you know, to pull them up. So, interesting club stuff. Switching to county stuff, Frank, it was some weekend for Ulster teams, you know. I know Tyrone got spanked down in Kerry, and that's, I think, some shock to the system for the new management team. But Armagh stayed up. I suppose Tyrone stayed in Division 1, like ourselves. That was important for them. You know, Antrim came up as well. You know, Fermanagh didn't get the promotion, but they're still in Division 3. The big losers, I think, was Derry come up as well. Obviously, Cavan getting relegated. Shock and stuff. I mean, we were in Breffni on Saturday night, and the Cavan people, and talk about looking after, say it was top class, you know, in fairness, up there. But such a shock to the system. They were just numb after, you would think, pushing on from that memorable Ulster Championship victory last year, beating ourselves in the final. You'd think this would be a kind of stepping stone for them. So for them to end up in Division 4, unbelievable stuff.
Like, we had been sick and tired of talking about that Ulster final. Even the likes of Declan Boner was getting snappy quite recently at press conferences. You know, we wanted to bury that and put it away. But Cavan's result at the weekend and them dropping down Division 4, it pins back that old Cavan. You have to wonder, what the hell went wrong in the Athletic Grounds last November. Yeah. But that Cavan side beat Donegal. Mm. And again, you know, Down should have been in that Ulster final because Down were 11 points ahead of Cavan at one stage. So all of a sudden you're thinking, our game against Down isn't going to be as straightforward maybe as people think. But the Cavan things, it's mind-boggling. I can't wrap my head around it. And I think Martin McHugh probably summed it up, you know, quick and snappy on Highland Radio at the weekend. It's just maybe Donegal didn't show Cavan respect. You know, and that's the only thing that he can put last November's shocker down to, because if Cavan's dropped to Division 4, people talking about the lesser games, you know, maybe over you know, a normal traditional league season, they would have stepped this game and teeth. But if they went down to Division 4 under the sort of Titan format, they deserve to have gone down to Division 4. So it just makes you, it baffles belief that an All-Ireland semi-finalist will be swimming in, you know, football's bottom tier in 2022. It's just crazy.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, just turning to your own game, how do you analyse that from Saturday night? I think it's very hard to kind of take on board how we played and what way the game. I mean, it was for a 4-point defeat, it was hard to believe, right? Because the gap was massive on the day, and we had some good performance. I suppose Keelan McGonigal, I suppose, like Ethan O'Donnell making his debut.
Yeah,
I thought played well. You know, Brendan McCool played really well, and then Owen McGettigan had that 1-1 at the end. So there was plus points in there. McBertie played well again, but what did you make of it, Frank? Because at times Dublin just seemed like they could roll over us.
Like you said, the pluses that I took were probably everything that you've mentioned there. In terms of what you can take from it, I think very little. I mean, league football at the best of times, even with this kind of strange dynamic this year of semi-finals and no final. I think I talked to Brian Murray last week, the previous game, and we looked back at a National Football League quarter-final from 1992 where, you know, Donegal were sucker punched later on, and it, you know, it stuck in the gut, and it was used as motivation to propel them on towards Sam Maguire. That simply doesn't happen anymore. And even, you know, what was the benefit of Saturday night to Donegal? The Dublin, you know, you read the papers that they viewed it as their last competitive game for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Which maybe tells a story, and I don't know if that's fair either. I mean, we talk about Down being a big game for Donegal, but in the cold light of day, what would Dublin do to Down at full strength in Newry? You know, you flip that there over. So, you know, we like to look at Ulster as maybe this minefield, and it probably isn't from the outside looking at Coldley, because as you say, you pointed to some results there at the weekend. For Donegal, in the same way that we talked about maybe the Big Two and Big Four in Donegal, Donegal had everybody available. I think they're capable, obviously, of coming through Ulster and putting it up to anybody, maybe in a semi-final or whatever. But as soon as you start losing players, and Dublin has such strength and depth, even, you know, with an experimental team themselves in certain areas, there's still so much quality there that just simply comes in and they don't miss a beat. I think the worry for Donegal is you're looking at, we talked last year that we're, you know, lacking those touch-tight defenders, and you see the likes, you know, players that we lost the last day, you know, McMenamin and Gunoff. It was great to see Owen McFadden Ferry back in there, but it just comes down to what kind of approach Donegal will take in Championship. If they've learned their lesson maybe from last year, where maybe you're looking at a 15 on paper and you're saying, wow, that's a very exciting looking 15, but at the same time, Dublin, you look at the players they have in defence, they enjoy tackling, they enjoy the physicality. And we go back to 2012, people talk about Donegal's system and getting bodies back. All six of those Donegal traditional defenders, maybe bar Anthony Thompson, Brenton, were touched. They made their names as touch-tight man markers. Paddy McGrath, Neil McGee, Eamon McGee, Frank McGinn, Ciarán Lacy. They all could track players in the one-on-one, stand them up. Whereas I don't think that was the case with Donegal last year in terms of how we played behind midfield. We had great players breaking, but we didn't have enough of those. And we've talked about this. It's not new. We didn't have enough of those touch-tight defenders. We need luck to smile on us now over the next number of weeks in terms of injuries and players. It's imperative that we do shake things up, I think, at the back. Get more of those traditional kind of players that we talk coming in that can mark men, that can stand men up, because you're going to need it against the likes of a Kerry or Dublin down the line. But listen, getting through Ulster first is the big one. But, you know, you pinpointed Tyrone there, very disappointed with them at the weekend. But, again, I'm sure a happy medium will be found there Championship.
Yeah, listen, Logan and Doher, I know the two lads well. You know, they only had an under 21 job previously. I know they won All-Ireland. Yeah. Canavan was in there, but they haven't really had any managerial, experience outside of that. You know, I think there was probably throwing people saying there was other people a lot more qualified. I think they probably had an aim coming in, and it's been a tough start for them. Just before we leave you there, Frank Down, you know, scored 219 against Laois at the weekend. You know, after that performance up in the when Cavan came back at them last year, there certainly is. That's going to be a game. It's going to be a high scoring game. I would find it going to be largely entertaining. Surely, if Michael and the whole crew's back, you know, and what, as you say, we learned from Cavan last year, but certainly Down are going to come at us all guns blazing in Newry. It should make for a brilliant encounter.
It will, and listen, Down in a similar sense, we talked about Cavan last year. They probably don't, when you slip through the divisions and maybe results aren't going your way, come Championship, if you still have, like, Down and Cavan traditionally has serious pedigree, and Down at home in Newry, as you say, last year, that Cavan result will probably have stung them more than anything. They were back at it early. I mean, you know, they were caught back at it early. So it probably showed Paddy Daly's intentions. You're looking at the weekend, I know obviously Laois, and you have to qualify what they might or might not have offered. But the likes of Barry O'Hagan, I think he hit 1-9. Nine of those were frees. Conor Corey, Liam Kerr, you know, Keelan Mooney, all on the score sheet, Pierce Lafferty. They're small, maybe busy side. They probably don't have that stature, maybe in terms of physicality, that we think you might need. But, you know, we're at the height of summer now. We're talking about, you know, the way the pitches are, you know, they're fast, they're playable. I think Down will offer Donegal a lot of resistance, I think. But I think if Donegal set their stall up properly, you know, on paper, we've much more quality than them. I think, you know, in terms of physicality, we're further down the road than them. But at the same time, I would take nothing for granted but the learning, the Cavan game, regardless of how we try to park it in the back of our minds. I mean, that's the motivation for Donegal now, is not to take anything for granted. And again, looking at Derry's trajectory, you're hoping, you know, that there could be a very exciting tussle, simply because of the subplots and Rory Gallagher and all that, you know, that goes with it there. Yeah. So it's going to be a great few weeks, but it certainly wouldn't be looking beyond Down and taking them for granted, because you once and twice, yeah, you would imagine that Declan, those players, Stephen Rochford, would definitely have that there, you know, at the back of the head leaning in. But, you know, just wondering about injuries and that they got there. I think with the likes of Oran Manelis, who I thought was going really well the last day, Paddy seemed to, I don't know, maybe hold a hamstring as he kicked that last ball into the keeper's hands. But I've seen him, you know, chatting with Kieran Kilkenny afterwards, shooting the breeze, smiling. He didn't look like a player that was too concerned about an injury or niggle or trying to ice it. So I think he'll be fine. Yeah. Oran Manelis is the one. Michael Murphy, you know, could you maybe gamble and think that maybe you might need Michael Murphy from the very off against Down? Some decisions there for Declan to make, you know, in the lead-up, because I think if they got over that there, Derry certainly would really fancy a shot, and obviously Rory would have his motivations there as well. So, like, it's exciting, and it's fast-paced, and it's going to come at us pretty fast, you know, quickly as well, which I think is great.
Yeah, that's a gamble, Frank, that scares me straight away, you saying that. I would rather not say that. And I know what he says, on paper, Donegal look better. And listen, no better man in the paper than Frank. You can get him in the Donegal News for his excellent reports on the game. Frank, thanks for joining us this evening on DL Debate.
No problem, Dave. DV, chat soon.
That was Frank Craig, of course. And as we were saying in that interview, we're going to switch now, and our current county boss, Declan Booner, is on the line for his views on Saturday night's game. Declan, how are you, sir?
All good, Bren, and yourself?
Oh, Declan, not too bad. I was joking with Frank there. I ended up down in Gidoor yesterday. We got a bit of a spanking, so I was getting a bit of stick from the lads in Cass's place last night, but hey, it's all part and parcel of it.
That's exactly it. No, it's great to see the club scene back up and running again. I was over myself at our own match. Now Ross were playing at Muff, so it's great to get the lads all back playing again. So no, it's a good, great to see football back again at club level also.
Brilliant, Dick. Yeah, Dick, just Saturday night's game, leading into it, no one knew what way to call it. I spoke to you briefly about it. It was all about getting a workout. It was all about pre-championship, not picking up any injuries. How did you assess how the game went Saturday evening?
No, listen, from our point of view, Brendan, we prepared very well for it, to be quite honest. And, you know, Dublin are, I mean, they are the standard players. There's no doubt about that there. I mean, we know exactly how they're going to set up, how they're going to play. And we just have to be better in certain situations. You know, with the ball, we created chances, but we also got the ball turned over at different times. You know, top teams, especially Dublin, is going to punish you. And, the goal came from a turnover high up in our attack. And, we left three or four short in the keeper's hands. And you're going to get punished, simple as that there. But, no, I think it was a really good experience, a learning experience for a lot of the younger lads. That, you know, the likes of Conor Dolan getting game time against the Dubs, the likes of Owen McFadden Ferry getting back in, Ethan O'Donnell have done very well. So, listen, it was a really good workout from our point of view. But, people were saying, had the semblance of a challenge match. But from our point of view, it definitely was not. You know, I thought the first 25, 30 minutes, I thought we were very, very good. The goal definitely had a huge impact on the game. But, it was good work from our point of view, and I thought it was a good game. And, looking forward now to the match on Sunday week against Down.
Yeah, definitely. Just, I think individually, there were some individual battles I think we did really well in. I think you just mentioned a couple of them. I mean, Brendan McCall had a great game, I thought, as well. Big Keelan, Dick, and I think with players of his size and in the middle, it always takes that extra couple of years for them to get to their best. He's been having a top season. You know, he's doing everything, and of course chipping in his scores. And I thought the three of them, along with young McGettigan coming on, hitting that 1-1 deck, so they were the big pluses for me kind of individually from Saturday evening.
No, exactly, Brendan. And Keelan has deserved his opportunity. He's been in the squad. He was in the squad before I came along, and I mean, I've had Keelan since he was under 16, 17, coming in as a second choice goalkeeper, and we turned him into a midfielder. And we ended up playing in the 2014 minor final, and he's been, to me, really, really good. If anyone, the work that he puts into his game is huge. He's totally professional in everything he does, and he was picking up Brian Fenton on Saturday night, and he'd done that job extremely well, and he also chipped in with a couple of scores. He's been doing that, and he's been doing extremely well. Yeah, the likes of Brendan McCall done extremely well. Ryan McHugh had a really good game on Kieran Kilkenny. And McGettigan came off the bench and scored a goal in the point. So listen, no, it was a relief from our point of view. A lot of positives came out of that game.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Scully, Kilkenny, Fenton, Basquale were all well matched up there, boys. Just on about converting players, is Owen McHugh a bit of a man marker now? Are you converting him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, he's doing that, and he's doing extremely well. And we see it every night of training. He's a really, really top class defender, and really reads the game well, and knows the game. And he's an important part of our setup at the minute, definitely.
Dick, were you surprised at all Dublin's tactics at times? Particularly in that second half when they were 7 points up in control and the full 15 going inside the 45. Were you surprised at that?
Not really, Brent. No, I mean, Dublin do that. That's the way they play the game. Dublin don't take it. Their shot ratio is higher than anyone else. The percentage on shots to goal are higher than anyone else in the country. And they are so disciplined in terms of their attacking play, and they do attack extremely well. But also, they do defend extremely well, and they do get bodies back. And I mean, at stages in that game, for a fair part of it, I mean, they had 14 behind the ball, and difficult to break down, but that's what you expect. I mean, Dublin are so methodical in everything that they do, and for a team to really turn them over, you have to be, your shot ratio, you have to be on top of your game. And as I said, we did leave a number of chances behind us on Saturday night, and against a team of Dublin's caliber, you have to convert those. And as I say, we cannot get ball turned over at times like we did on Saturday.
Yeah, Dick, I just wonder, like, taking the Donegal hat off for a minute, do you think it's over-tactical? You think back to the brilliant days that you had with Donegal around that 92 team. There must have been times, Dick, where you were playing some unbelievable football, but you were expressing yourselves, you were going out and playing. Do you think we've kind of cornered that off a bit and taken away, people just say, well, they've won six All-Irelands, but surely if you've won six All-Irelands, can they not leave a platform on side and just go and beat Donegal? Do you think there's a need for this thing that they're mirroring us, or in some way? Well, they'll say they're mirroring
us. Yeah, exactly. I get the point, but listen, it is completely tactical. That's just the way, and as I say, that's the way that Dublin play. They're so professionally set up, and they're so methodical in everything that they do. And for a team to get the better, that team has to do it better. Simple as that. There, but they're so disciplined and all their aspects, with the ball, without the ball, and.
Maybe I'm too romantic about this day, but I just look across. I mean, you know, we all love our soccer as well in the Premiership. If you looked at what Leeds brought to the division this year in terms of excitement, how they play ball, and how the top teams play, I just think sometimes we're willing to look past the playing of the game now. And I know it has opened up a bit, Dick, but I was looking at Dublin last night. I just thought there would have been something more from them. But then again, I suppose, you know, what are they going to get in Leinster now? You'd think they would flex their muscles a bit more. It was as if they play so protective. But I guess that's down to them. I just think it takes away from the game then when you see that motion and play. It just takes down the game. No, taking ourselves out of it, just looking at the game as a whole, you know, in general.
Yeah, listen, Brent, if you look at any of the top teams in any sport, and you look at the All Blacks and you look at Man City winning the Premiership this year, and, you know, you look at the Dublin and GAA, I mean, they just play the systems. That's the and they work harder. They just work harder and they do better. They do things better than their opponents. And you know, you look at Man City and they press high up the park, and you know they drop off when they have to. And it's so methodical. And it's just, you know, it's just the way sport and football has gone. And you know, it's you know exactly what Dublin's going to give and what they're going to bring on any given night. It's just trying. How you can beat that, and that's down to making fewer mistakes, working that bit harder, and as I say, it's you know, Dublin as I say, Dublin are Dublin, and they've won the last six rounds.
I think you can't argue it. I suppose as part of me always think that when you're that good, you know, maybe you could open up a bit more. But listen, as you said, that's what they do, Dick. They stick to the pattern and the tactics. Dick, just on from Saturday night then, I know you were very keen not to risk anybody. Michael's, you know, on his way back, close to coming back. I think it was a dead leg for McMenamin, was it? And McNeilish, you know, it was just a slight strain. Anybody else to report on? All those lads should be ready for down, are you thinking?
No, exactly, Brendan. Yeah, we'll know now. As I say, we're back in tomorrow night, and you know, I was chatting to most of the guys over the last 24 hours. So, you know, Jamie and Paul Brennan, Owen Bann, Stephen, Michael, and Tyler Morgan. I mean, should all be back. Neil McGee, Paddy McGrath played for the club yesterday, and it's going to be. It should be an exciting number of sessions now ahead of the Down game, because there's going to be huge competition for places within that 15, within that 26, and you know, that's exactly where you want to be at, Brendan. You know, we used 30 players in that league campaign, and you know, everyone's really putting a hand up, looking for those jerseys. You know,
yeah, just watching the Down lads there. I see Paddy Talley saying he was praying all week. He didn't want to go back down to Division 3. They had a funny enough league, Deccan, but a very encouraging performance there against Leash. It's 32-19. The 2-12, and I know they lost a few players, the Johnson boys and O'Hare and that, some of their main forwards, but they have a real power running game there with obviously Mooney and Geza Kerr and Fagan and these lads, and you get a real sense, Dick, in it in Newry. They're going to come all guns blazing. I mean, let's say it was Derry in the first game in Celtic Park, I think they'll be very set up, controlled game, let's say, but the fact that it's down in Newry, I think, Dick, they're just going to go for us. It has a set up for a cracking encounter.
Yeah, no, exactly, Brendan. We know. Listen, we're under no illusion of the task ahead. It's going to be a really difficult match. Down, we're very good at the beginning. They scored 2-19. You know, they play a lot of counter-attacking football. A lot of really good players doing the two O'Higgins, Darren O'Higgins at centre-back and Barry O'Higgins. Two really high-performance lads. And, you know, they're going to be difficult to watch. They've also got, you know, Keelan Mooney, who's, you know, a lot of pace and that Down team, and they're going to ask us plenty of questions, and we've got to have the answers for that. And as I say, we're not looking past next Sunday week. It's going to be a really difficult game for us.
Yeah, Dick, and just the next couple of weeks then, what happens with the Donegal boys around, you know, you're coming late down the season, you've had these games, you've 1 week off. Your trajectory now, is it fairly hard training this week and then taper it down a bit next week, or how is the sessions going to flow in the lead up to Down?
With the busy schedules, we'd basically five games in the space of 6 weeks. We had a pre-season match with Mayo, and then we went into competitive action with Tyrone, Monaghan, Armagh, and then Dublin at the weekend. So it's been a busy schedule. The lads are in really good shape. They've put in a huge amount of work, and you know, you can see by the games that we've finished out strong in all the games. So the lads are in good shape. So it's basically just topping up now and making sure that we have all these guys back on the pitch now, coming back in from injury. So it's going to be busy. We've got five sessions left now before we play down on Sunday week.
Yes, Dick, and listen, really looking forward to it. You know, we've got to get this title back. And listen, Dick, from all your time playing and management, you've done some service this county. And roll on, Newry, and I think we can have another good season ahead in Championship.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Brendan. And as I say, it's Ulster Championship is the most competitive. And, you know, you can see it again. I mean, all four teams have remained in Division 1 for next season. So ourselves and Tyrone, Mullen and Armagh are back to Division 1 football next season, and that's where the strength of the championship is. It's going to be a really competitive championship, and I'd say we're not looking past Newry down on Sunday week.
Declan, that's brilliant. Thanks for your views there, and as I say, the county will all be behind you for Newry, and roll on another tilted Ulster.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, Dick. That was Declan Bonner there, our current county manager, of course. And now we're switching our attention to the ladies' boss, and the one and only Maxi Kern joins me on the line. Maxi, how are you this evening?
Yeah, how's it going, Brendan?
Good, Maxi. Thanks a mil for joining us. Maxi, it's been some start to the season for you in the league. Some brilliant performances. I know you came into the campaign. You know, you lost a few players, notably the likes of Ciara Higgerty and Yvonne Bonner. So what you've produced in the league so far has been top class. And I was just listening to a bit of the commentary on the way up to Breffni there. I know Mo was on cue as well. It sounded like an unbelievable game. I know you as a boss, listen, entertainment comes second to the result, Maxi, but there's certainly a serious fight and a serious edge to Donegal so far this season.
Yeah, look. Saturday, I suppose, first of all, was definitely, you know, helter-skelter. I think somebody described it as a next goal wins type of a game. But look, we're very disappointed that we came out the wrong end of it. I know it may be entertaining for people on the sidelines or watching it at home, but you know, we went into the game with high hopes. You know, we felt that we were in with a real good shout of beating Cork, and you know, we felt if we could get up past 20 points, we thought we would have been enough to get us over the line. But look, we just didn't count them. It's for the some of the errors and some of the goals that we conceded. You know, we conceded five goals, and I think four of them are very much avoidable, and that's probably, you know, most frustrating, because we feel that we've probably no one to blame but ourselves. You know, we felt that we lost the game as much as Cork going and winning us.
Yeah, it was 5-10 to 3-13. Maxi, is it a question maybe, Maxi, that being it's a league, you're going into the championship, of course, was it something that it's a good time to learn that around, the, you know, defensively conceding five goals and putting that right before championship?
Yeah, look, there's definitely no better time to learn than a league campaign or early in a season. You know, you would like to think that we'd not make those mistakes again, the ones that definitely were the couple and Prichter were definitely very avoidable, and you know, completely fly in the face of what we've done up to this from a defensive perspective. And that's hard to take, because you know, you do all these things in training and you do all these things in games to be ready for the big days when you really need it to all play out. And you know, and it's disappointing when you take a step back, and I think that's kind of what we've done. You know, we handled Galway really well, we handled Mayo really well, but look, we just didn't handle Cork as well. And look, even as management, you know, we take our hands, we have to hold our hands up and say, you know, we probably didn't tie down Orla Finn the way that we should have. You know, she ended up the day with 1-8. You know, she scored more on Saturday than she's probably had in the last year all put together. And you know, we felt that there were threats that we had to try and nullify. And yeah, with the team of Cork, you just no more than the Dublin men, you can't mark everybody. And that's probably a regret on our behalf, you know, that we let that one kind of slip through the net. But look, it's definitely a learning curve, and you know, you will definitely learn every day you play against the better teams. And Cork and Dublin are just that ahead of everybody else at the minute, and you know, we're all in the chasing pack, but we would like to think that we're probably now, you know, nearly at the front of the chasing pack. And we're you know, everybody came out of Tuam on Saturday very disappointed, and that's I suppose, a sign of where we think we are and where we think we should be, that we are disappointed getting beat by a team like Cork, who've been in 14 of the last 16 National League finals or something, you know, that's the level they're at. And, you know, we've only been in one in our entire history. So, you know, look, the gap's closing, and look, we're overall happy with the league campaign, but look, we are very disappointed losing on Saturday.
Yeah, and Dublin Hammer and Mayo, another semi-final. So this match, we're definitely knocking on the door. Just looking at the score now, obviously our own Karen Guthrie scoring 2-3. Geraldine, of course, as usual, 8 points. Katie Hearn 1-1. A bit different from the men's game, Max, in terms of that spread of scoring. Is that a purposeful thing in the team? Do we often work the ball to the people that are best to take the scores, or is that just how the game plays out?
Well, it's probably locked a wee bit of both. You know, I think we probably have 4 or 5 girls there that are very regularly on the score sheet. You know, you mentioned Geraldine and Karen, and then you've got Niamh McLaughlin, Niamh Hegarty, and, you know, Katie Hearn scores most days we play. So, you know, those 5 girls would definitely account for the lion's share of our scores. I would say 98% of our scores throughout the years from those 5 girls. So at any stage, we feel that they can you know, chip on them. And when you have that many shooters in the field, you know, more than the men with Kieran Thompson, Patrick Birdie, Michael Lang and Michael Murphy, you know, they also have scorers from, you know, from many different areas, Ryan McHugh. So, you know, that makes it hard for teams to defend against you. And you just got to trust that you keep the ball moving until you get a shooter of that, you know, that calibre in the right position. And you have to apply a bit of patience. And, you know, something we've worked on a lot is our conversion rate over the last number of weeks. You know, we discovered there early in the year there was a study done on ladies football, and the average conversion rate for teams that won championship matches is about 55, and Dublin last year in the All-Ireland final were at 70, and you know, in the first couple of league matches this year we were in the 40s. So we set about, you know, fixing that, and we did a bit of work on our shot selection and our shot areas, and you know, we had a conversion rate of 83, I think, against Galway in the last regulation match. So, you know, that's something we've been thinking about and trying to get the right people in the right positions, and you know, and trying to take all our shots from the high percentage. So, and look, that's not easy, and Cork defended really well and defended that area really well, and they made it difficult for us to get our shots away. But look, you know, 3-13 is a high score in any day, and you know, to win a lot of matches, but you know, we just maybe took our eye off the ball at the other end of the field on Saturday past.
Yeah, certainly. And listen, Mickey, Maxie, the championship game with Cavan, has this been delayed now, I'm hearing?
Yeah, there's an issue now. There's a Division 4 Camogie National League final on, and they have a couple of dual players, so the Ulster Council have made the decision that they're not going to put our match on against the Camogie game. So look, we're just trying to find an alternative date now that suits all parties. You know, we feel it's a big inconvenience for us. You know, we a lot of these girls work and have weekend jobs, and yes, the schedule's planned well in advance, so we tell the girls they're playing matches on Saturdays and they're off to work, free to work on Sundays, and now we find that's not the case. So look, it's a wee bit frustrating, but look, it is what it is. It's nobody's fault, and you know, you have to respect the dual players as well and their attempts to play for their county in both codes. And you know, we wouldn't want the game to go ahead on Saturday, but look, we would be keen that it gets a date that allows us to be in a best position to go after another Ulster title.
Brilliant stuff, Maxie. Listen, I want to wish you all the best when that's rearranged. Really interesting championship coming up for yourself, Davy McLaughlin. Who else in the background team there with you, Maxie?
James McGinley from Milford and Joe McLaughlin from Ardra. He's our stats and video man. And Nadine Friel from Glensfully. She's our GPS woman, our tech guru. And Aidan is our kit man. And Alan O'Connell is our a COVID officer, and we have medical team. Then we have Tommy Kerr and Sinead Boyce, she's a masseuse, and Paddy Kelly of soccer fame as our goalkeeping coach. So look, we have a good background.
Good team.
We haven't left anybody out. But, yeah, look, a very hard working unit, and a county board that have been very good to us. You know, Siobhan Coyle is our chairperson. Siobhan's a very busy woman. She's a top referee now at LGFA level intercounty, and you know, and regularly does senior men's games. So she's been brilliant. She's our chairperson. She used to go from Shem's Aaron. We did a great job before that. And Michelle McKenna from Bunkrana is our secretary, and she works tirelessly and does everything she can to help the team. So look, we're fortunate to have those couple of officers really behind us, and it's a bit of a team effort, you know, and we try and make life as easy and support the girls and everything they do and allow them to be the best that they can be. So
yeah, magic stuff.
Do our best.
Max, that's a great team you have behind me, and I know you'll be running the ship well yourself, and I'm just glad them GPS tracking systems weren't around in my time, hey, that would have been a bit embarrassing, hanging around the 13 waiting for
the career
freeze.
Could have been a lot shorter if you'd been on it.
You would have been pulling me up.
I don't think you'd be alone now. I think there'd be a lot of men would have been enforced retirement had they been held accountable for their movements. But listen, it's all part of the evolution of the game, isn't it?
Good man, Maxie. Listen, again, thanks so much for joining us this evening. All the best in the championship ahead, sir.
Thank you.
And I am delighted to say I'm joined by Donegal hurling boss Mickey McCann. How are you this evening, Mickey?
Good, Brent. Yourself?
Oh, the very best, Mickey. Listen, just wanted a quick word on the roundup of the league in Division 2B. You said to me before, I think, at the start of the season that Donegal only managed to stay up once in their history. So it was a very positive league, Mickey, all in, outside of the Kildare performance. You know, Donegal really had two brilliant performances and then that very tight defeat to Derry. What did you make of it?
I suppose, Brent, it was a great league campaign for us, you know, and the aim was to stay there, as I told you earlier in the season, you know, and we aimed at the two home matches against Roscommon and Mayo, possibly maybe get the 4 points, which would make it safe, and it worked out that way, you know. Maybe weren't that hot against Roscommon, but battled on to the end to get something out of the game and a late goal, you know, but showed great determination to get there, and I suppose away to Kildare, Brendan, we really underperformed, you know, but they were a step above, really, and they were just that level above us, you know, and they're a Joe McDonough team, so and they showed that. So we just had a wee grip in for the Mayo game, and the Kildare game probably worked out in their favour, you know, it gave us a wee kick that we needed to step us up a gear, and it'll be a great performance against Mayo at home, you know, to get the 2 points out of it.
Yeah, that Mayo performance was unbelievable, making fair play to you, because I think you got the reaction after Kildare. Kildare, of course, finishing with a plus 77 score, and so they were really moving ahead, Mickey, and you admitted that as well. Just Derry, Mickey, this last number of years, I remember looking at Derry hurling, and it was getting better and better, and they were moving up the gears. It's been some climb for Donegal to come up to be at their level as well, Mickey. Some work being put in, you know, obviously by yourselves there, Jamesy Donnelly's, and you know Gabriel O'Kane, who is a Derry man, isn't he? You've really brought the side on to a new level.
Well, help, Brendan. I suppose going to Derry, where we knew it, we were safe already, you know, and we had a good go at them. But to be honest, take the first 15 minutes out of it, Brent, it was probably our best performance of the year in that last 40-50 minutes, you know, and the forwards are really to click on 3:21 against Derry or 3:20, and by a 10 minute spell in the first half, Brent, we gave away a couple of goals. I feel like we were the better hurling side and took the better scores and possibly could have a penalty at the end. So I think maybe a wee bit tighter in defence at the third, Brent, we could have got something out of that game and could have finished the league with 6 points on the table, you know. So, but exactly what we wanted out of the Derry game was performance again. But I would say probably that last 40 minutes, Ben, is as good as we've played in a long time, you know.
Yeah, and Mick, you're going to obviously defend the Nicky record. Is there any change in the landscape of who's in there and who's about it to defend your title?
No, I suppose Mayo is going to be the big guns again, Ben, and you can't look past Tyrone and Armagh, you know. But just I watched Mayo last week. They were playing Kildare, you know, more or less a league final. If Mayo had won, they would have had to head over Kildare, you know. But Mayo had 114 in the scoreboard at half time. They 1-9 against Kildare, and I couldn't see nobody getting that close to them. So, look, on their day, Mayo can step it up, Bryn. They've been in Division 2A for a couple of seasons, and we've turned them over twice. But just watch them last again. They gave Kildare all they wanted, and the only team in the league that got relative close to them, you know.
Yeah, maybe Kildare taking the foot off a small bit, let's hope so. Mickey, just around that, the last couple of performances against Mayo, obviously, yous went in the final as underdogs last year and produced that brilliant performance coming back. I mean, Boyd's great goal and ignited the side, and we came back and won the match. You know, the league game then in Letterkenny, you know, as you said, what a performance by our guys. How does that now read into this championship game, which is back at home again? Does that put us in a better place, or do you think that they'll be smarting from that and coming with a lot more aggression into the game?
I think so, Brendan. There's talk about maybe showing your hand and all this, but look, you've got to make the most of these games. There's not that many of them, Brendan. You need to get boys up to speed. So if we'll begin, they won at full pelt. As Mayo comes, you know, you can always use a defeat as an incentive maybe to raise your team up. And look, we've turned them over twice, and I know it hurts them because they probably rate themselves a bit slightly higher division than us, you know. So it'll be interesting, Brendan, you know, and whatever comes out of Letterkenny, there's a good possibility you could meet down the line again. So look, we'll be going out to keep our home advantage and keep the things right at O'Donnell Park and try to get a victory, you know, and wherever that takes us to the semi-final stages, we'll our matter on, you know. So, but we'll be like just keeping a running pattern going, you know, Bren.
Yeah. Listen, it's just you've made that such a fortress at Donald Park, and so different from the footballers. They can't seem to win there, and no one can seem to come and beat you there, you know. Great record. Just a word in the preparations for Championship now, Mickey, the centre of excellence, the difference that's made to preparations and to, I suppose, the aura around, you know, playing for your county and having that kind of base behind you to work with.
It's great for county teams, to be honest, and you're set up there compared to the Porta Cabin this last few years, you know, and you have a couple of pitches there to work with, even with keepers and running drills and stuff, and move over to another pitch. It's great for preparation, you know, and us and the footballers have placed ourselves there on a Tuesday, Thursday night, and it just makes more enjoyable, Brendan, and players more enjoyable comedy training, you know, compared to recent times, or maybe even had we were going about all the county try find pitches. So look, it's definitely a big positive, and things are going forward for Donegal in that perspective, you know.
Yeah, roll on the Championship, Mickey. I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be another great day in Donald Park, I'm sure. And you'll come in to it all going blazing. You're injury free, are you, Mickey? Or anybody got any niggles?
We're not too bad at the minute, Brendan. I suppose the club scene started up, you know, and a half-hour panel would have been playing on Friday night, so that's a wee bit risky, but at the same time, the panel members need hurling, you know, so we're happy to let them play. So, look, if we can come out of the club matches, well, on scale, you know, everything else is in a good place at the minute, so... But you know yourself, a couple of weeks can be a long time.
Yeah. A few fans to cheer you on too, Mickey. Listen, all the best in the defence of the title, and hopefully a good summer ahead. Right, folks, that's another wrap for the DL Debate. Thanks so much to my guests, Declan Boner, Frank Craig, Mickey McCann, Maxie Kern, for their input this evening. I want to thank Kenneth for producing. Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.